So Joseph and Mary are in this place with the child Jesus, and these three men walk in. And Joseph says to him, "Excuse me, we're trying to have a family moment here. What are you doing?" And the first gentleman says to him, "Well, we've come to pay your son homage. I have gold." And he said, "Okay, well, could you just leave it there and get out?" And the second man says, "But I have to honor your son with gift of frankincense." And he says, "Okay, look, could you guys just get out of here? We're just trying to have a quiet family moment by ourselves." And the third guy goes, "But wait, there's myrrh." Some of you will get that on the way home. And you'll think, "Oh, I get it. It was really bad." And I totally agree with you. Today, we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany of the Lord. Now, I think that this is important because a lot of times people go, "Well, wait a minute. Isn't January 6th the feast of the Epiphany?" And you're right. Normally, the 6th is the feast of the Epiphany because then that makes it the 12 days of Christmas. Get it? That little annoying song? That's okay. So, but the fact of the matter is, the church brings it to this Sunday for us to be able to celebrate it. Now, what is the Feast of the Epiphany? What's it all about? Well, most people will tell you that it's about, you know, the three kings. Well, it's bigger than that. And fortunately, I'm here to tell you why it's bigger. So Epiphany means manifestation. Okay? It's a word that has that is Greek in its origin. And it means manifestation. It means awakening. So today is the feast of the manifestation of Jesus to the world. Not just to the Hebrew nation, but to the whole world. And we are awakened to the fact that Jesus is for all people, Jew, Gentile alike. Now, Matthew is the only writer of the gospel writers who tells the story of the Magi. He's the only one. And the reason for it is because Matthew is specifically writing to the Gentiles. He wants them to understand that Jesus is for them. And the way he does that is to use these three wise men, these magi, these astrologers from the East, not connected with the Hebrew nations, and they come to adore the newborn king of the Jews. Jesus, in this feast, becomes for us the light of the world. The church gives him that title of light of the world, light of the nations. You remember when Simeon has Jesus and Mary and Joseph in the church and he takes Jesus into his arms and he says, "This child will be the light to the nations and the glory of the people Israel." Well, this is where that becomes truth for us. This child, this Jesus, this Messiah, Savior of us all, comes to the world to shatter our darkness and bring us into the splendor of his kingdom of light. And those gifts that the Magi bring, the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, those just aren't like traditional birthday gifts for any kid back then. Gold is symbolic of kingship. Frankincense is symbolic of priesthood. And myrrh is symbolic of the anointed one. So Jesus is the ultimate priest, prophet, and king. One who is called and sent forth, the anointed one. One who is king and one who is priest, the ultimate one who not only calls the sacrifice, but is the sacrifice. Each of us, when we were baptized, we were anointed with chrism oil, and we were signed on our forehead as priest, prophet, and king. Now, some of you don't know that, but you were, and what does that mean? Well, that means that all of us are to imitate Christ. We are to be light in the midst of the darkness of our world. Several years ago, I was a pastor of the parish Light of the World. We have a parish in the Archdiocese named Light of the World. And everybody used to get confused. They thought I worked for some other denomination or something. They were like, what? Because everybody's used to hearing, you know, Saint something or Our Lady of, or, you know. So they didn't associate that. But that title of Light of the World was given during the Second Vatican Council. And Jesus is that light of the world. But what's more important is, as baptized Catholics, we are called to be that light in the midst of darkness. I preached similar to this one Sunday, speaking about all this, and I talked about the manifestation and et cetera. And this parishioner came up to me one day and he said, Father, he goes, I didn't realize all that stuff you were saying today about, you know, manifestation and epiphany and all. He said, what? That was amazing. He said, you know, he said, and as I was sitting there thinking to myself, I realized I've never had an epiphany in my life. And I smiled at him and he looked at me kind of perplexed and I said, you just did. Like, realizing that he's never had an epiphany was his epiphany. How many times do we have those aha moments in our life? Those moments where we go, oh my goodness, now I understand. Now I get it. Now it makes sense. All the years that I took math, any kind of math class, I never had an aha moment. It never made any sense to me. I never was any good at it. Nothing. But there were so many other times in my life that I've had those aha moments, those moments where all of a sudden everything just came together clearly. When those magi walk in and see this child, this infant king, they don't go, wait a minute, this isn't what we were expecting, and take their gifts and go. No, they open their coffers and they do him homage because they realize this is the king. This is the one who they have been following and need to follow from this day forward. This Feast of the Epiphany invites us to do the same, to follow Christ, to be his light, to share him in our world. Now, you know what we went through back in 2020. It's fresh still in our mind. And we've dragged a few of those things still with us. I got it. But what are the aha moments that you had during this past year? We think about all the bad things, but what are the aha moments? What are those things that you were like, wow, this is what God is calling me to. This is what God wants for me. This is what defines God being in charge in my life. And what is it that made a difference? How did you act differently? How did you talk differently? How did you treat others differently? Maybe the aha moment is yet to still come for us. Maybe it's realizing that if I'm supposed to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I actually have to imitate him. If I'm supposed to be a light in the midst of darkness, then I have to change some of the things that I'm doing so that the more positive side of myself can come out, that I can use the gifts that God gave me to serve my brothers and sisters. Maybe the aha moment is there are some things in my life that I've got to change so that I can be better. The Epiphany invites us to be awakened to the presence of Christ in our life and make him known in our world. That's the whole point. And in some ways, this feast is more important for the point of our discussion than any of the other feasts that we've celebrated thus far in the new liturgical year. Why? Because it provides for us action. It's not just about honoring Christ. It's about honoring Christ. It's about really praising him by what we do, not just what we say, or not just what we think, or not just what we feel, but all of that put into action. So today, let's ask the Lord, let's pray for one another, that we can reflect on those moments of aha in our life and allow ourselves to be awakened to what God is calling us to. Because we are a force. We are a divine force that can change the world. It starts with our little corner of it, but it has a beautiful ripple effect. And when that happens, wow, brothers and sisters, when that happens, the light will not be overcome by any darkness.